Introducing the Diderio Autolock, made with locking strap ends for an easy-to-use, clip-on system. When you're done, just pull the latch and slide it off. Keep your guitar on lock with the Diderio Autolock.
With Premier Guitar. We're in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm with Tab Benoit shortly before his sound check show tonight. Tab, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all for having me on the show.
This is going to be like the simplest rig rundown ever.
That's why I'm surprised y'all are talking to me.
Well, man, you're
rig
great.
Rig rundown.
Yeah. Well, you and I are roughly the same age. I've been watching you play for a long time, and you've been playing that guitar like
And it
looked rough 25 years ago.
Not as rough as it does now.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first got it, it was actually mint condition.
Yeah.
It was shiny. It had colors. Yeah. You know, the sunburst had red in it. I don't know what happened to the red, but...
High mileage.
Yeah, it's a 1972 Telecaster thin line.
Yeah. Now, what have you done to it over the years?
Nothing. I mean, nothing as far as modifying it.
Yeah.
Everything was like, you know, if a pot goes bad, a switch goes bad, the pickup's all original.
New frets.
I've had to change the frets, I think, three times.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they're just standard jumbo frets. But, you know, really, it's a stock.
It is a stock.
1972 thin line. And that's why I like old guitars, because it's... They develop character.
You know,
I have four of these. I have another one there from a spare. And they all sound different, even though they're from the same year.
Yeah.
Probably came from the same rack.
Yeah.
You know, the same production line, but the older they get, the more far apart they get from each other as far as character.
Sure, you know, develop their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
And this one just, you know, had kind of all of the elements that I like, you know. Since I don't use any pedals, the guitar and amp combination is all I have to work with. So it becomes important that the guitar has character and stuff to play with, you know?
Sure.
I mean, that's what I do. I play with whatever is in there to play with.
Yeah, that really is your voice.
Instead of playing with these things.
Yeah. And, okay, so what strings are you running on that?
GHS 11s. So I use the Sub-Zeros because... I used to bust a lot of strings, and I'd gotten with GHS, I've been endorsed by them for a long time.
And
I said, you know, is there any new technology that y'all are coming up with that makes the string stronger? And they said, well, the Sub-Zeros are probably, you know, the strongest thing we have. So it wasn't for tone or anything like that. It was just to keep them on the guitar.
Sure, yeah.
So I wouldn't break so many.
Yeah.
You know, and I came up with, I mean, if we're talking about rig stuff, I guess this is important. I had to come up with some kind of oil or grease or something, because I had gotten with Rene Martinez, who used to tech for Stevie Ray Vaughan. He had a serious issue with busting strings, and he had come up with his graphite grease that he had developed himself.
Really?
And it made me think, well, you know, that sounds like a good idea, some kind of lubrication, you know, where the metal parts, because when you're doing a lot of bending, this is constantly moving back and forth.
Sure, it's metal
heat.
On metal. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm watching an infomercial one day, and I see metal on metal, Slick 50. So,
oh, really? You
so,
did it.
So I got a mixture of, I made it up, and I still use it to this day. It's half Slick 50 and half 90 weight gear oil.
Really?
Yeah, and a couple little dot here and there, and a dot's on a nut, and you know, it's really helped out a lot.
So, oh, that's great.
You know, that's part of the rig. You know?
You can market your own thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tab grease.
Swamp grease. Yeah.
Swamp grease.
Yeah.
That's better. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's great, man.
But it works, you know, and I've been using that for years now.
Yeah.
You know.
And you go between picks and fingers just depending on the song, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I play with, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the alligator here, that's...
Yeah, it's part of the rig.
Yeah, well, it's part of the sound, you know.
Yeah.
It's something I've been traveling with for a long time. We used to, actually, when I first started touring, my tour manager at the time, he loved decorating the stage, so we would bring alligator heads, and we had moss draped all over the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, animal pelts and...
Yeah.
And turtles and all kind of stuff that, you know, from the bayou.
Yeah.
And the alligator head just stuck around because it's a good place to put my picks.
And your slide lives in there.
Yeah, it's a guitar accessory holder. And nobody steals my picks anymore.
No, I wouldn't want to reach my hand in there.
But I use the Clayton, triangle.
Yeah, the big ones.
What do they call them? Obtainium, I guess, is the material.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always used that because when I'm playing and I'm playing with my fingers and I go back to the pick, this doesn't matter which direction it's in. I got
sure.
three sides that are the same.
So
it just makes it easier to locate it and put it where you want it.
In the heat of battle, quick change. Yeah.
I've been playing with my eyes closed most of the time, so I'm not looking to see, what's wrong with my pick? Why does it sound different?
Yeah.
Playing with your fingers, I guess it's you're going to get more touch-sensitive things that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, that with your fingers that you can't do with a pick. But, you know, I'm in a trio, so, you know, it's a lot of guitar playing going on,
right.
A lot of rhythm playing. And, you know, it seems like, you know, a pick, you got to kind of have to get those rhythms going. And I do a lot of the, you know, kind of washboard emulating things.
Sure.
From the Zydeco music.
With, yeah. Yeah.
You know, where you just... muting the strings and acting like you're playing a washboard.
You know? And you're a real percussive player because you were saying you started on drums, right?
Yeah. My dad was a drummer. I started on drums. I mean, I really never wanted to be a guitar player. It's just...
Well, it's worked out pretty well.
I grew up in an area where we have more drummers than guitar players.
Yeah.
You know, Louisiana, South Louisiana in particular, is, you know, thousands of drummers and everybody needed a guitar player. So... It's like, well, I can play guitar.
Yeah.
If I want to be in a band, if I play guitar, I could be in a band right now.
Yeah.
And a bunch of different kinds of bands. So,
yeah.
You know, I just kind of started playing more guitar and I'm still doing it.
Yeah. Rest is history.
Yeah.
Hey, do you mind if we did like a taste test between your number one and this number two?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Let's try it. So this.
Okay, so.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
So is this also the same year?
Same year, yep. Less hours on it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But it's the same year.
Man, this
year.
Is a heavy
guitar,
right? I got a thin line that is light, but this thing, man.
I don't know why, but I mean, I think it was repainted, so it might have a little extra paint on it to add some weight, but you know.
Yeah. That is what...
So it's a little more crispy than that one.
Yeah, a little bitey.
But the front pickup actually has more bottom end than that one.
Huh.
So it's kind of like the bridge pickup has more crispy high end, but the front one's got more bottom end juice, you know?
Yeah, so.
But I don't use them for different sounds, you know? I use it. When I bust a string on that one, I pick this one up.
So you stay on number one unless you got a change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, as soon as I bust a string on that one and give that to the tech to put another string on it, I'm trying to hurry up and finish the next song so I can get back to that one.
Yeah, really? So you miss
number one. Yeah. I mean, you know, I like to, you know, something that I'm comfortable with that's I don't have to think about, you know. Yeah. And that's why I played this guitar in the first place.
Right.
It was the first guitar I played that did what I heard in my head.
Yeah.
You know, I tried Strats and Tellys and, you know, a lot of different Gibsons. And it was always just kind of like, I like some things about that one. I like some things about that one. But I played a friend of mine. I was hosting a jam session in my hometown. And a friend of mine came with one of these.
Yeah.
And it was... His dad actually owned a Fender dealership in the 70s in my hometown. And they sold the dealership, and the only thing they kept was a thin line Telecaster. That was the only thing they kept from the dealership that they had owned. And I played it at this jam session. I went, it's doing everything I hear up here, yeah. Man. Why? You got to sell me that, you know? Yeah. And he wouldn't do it because it was a family heirloom.
Yeah.
So I immediately went out looking for one because I'd never even heard of a thin line Telecaster at that point, you know? And I found that one. It was the first one I found in Houston, Texas.
Really?
I was recording, I think I was recording my first album.
Wow.
And I was in Houston, and they had a big music store there that was famous for having, you know, a good selection of vintage instruments. And I said, do you ever happen to have a Fender, you know, Telecaster thin line? He goes, yeah, we do. 1972, a Sunburst. So I went over there, and it was way up at the top, you know, like one of the ones that nobody plays.
Right, right.
You know, because it's way up there. Yeah. So nobody wanted to play it. It was kind of like, you know, they weren't cool at that.
Right,
time,
at that time, yeah. It was not, yeah.
It wasn't a sought-after guitar. So it was one that, you know, I bought it for $400, and it was in mint condition.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that was 1990, I think.
Yeah, and it's been on so every record.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing, man.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, so and the other part of your rig is your signature amp. So let's hear about these.
Yeah. So I played on a 65 Super Reverb and a 65 Twin for years, and it was happy with that. I wasn't looking for anything
the
different.
Two of them together?
Yeah.
I bet that
I always
was
used two amps. A lot of that reason is because, you know, the sounds like I'm using, like the crunchy sound is coming from the Super because it's 40 watts.
Yeah.
So, you know, it breaks up good. But once it starts breaking up, you lose that clarity,
sure.
You know, and you lose the attack. So I started daisy chaining it with a Twin just to keep that attack. So the Twin would be a lot lower volume. You know, you can see on this, on the way they set up, I mean, the Super's at like 7 and the Twin's at about 3, you know?
Right. So these are the Category 5?
Category 5, yeah. Before the guy had even started this company, he came up to me after Hurricane Katrina happened. And, you know, I have this organization called Voice of the Wetlands, which I started, all about helping to get the word out about the coast of Louisiana and the perils that we're in and how we're going to have issues with hurricanes. And this was before Katrina that I had started all of this. So after Katrina, the guy came up to me and he goes, he says, I want to build amps for you and Anders Osborne, who's also in that organization.
We did a rig running on Anders right here, and he had that amp.
Yeah. And he said, you know, we'll make them, you know, Voice of the Wetlands, you know, the Voice of the Wetlands models, but also signature models. So, and the deal was that part of the profits from the sale of any of these amps would go back to the Voice of the Wetlands.
How great.
Great idea. I'm like, yeah, cool. But I'm happy with my rig.
Yeah.
Like, so you're going to have to find a way to make a new amp sound and, more importantly, feel like it's been worn in, you know, and that was the challenge, you know. And he started with the Super, basically, which is what that is, a copy of a 65 Super.
So he took your 65.
Bought one of these.
Really?
To see what it did so that he could try to figure out a way to make that amp do what my Super was doing. And, you know, it took about 3 or 4 tries. But the first one he sent me, I knew he was on to something.
You know?
I'm like, wait, hold on. We on to something. But the deal is, you know, like everybody knows, you can go into a music store and you try out an amp, but boy, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And you bring it on a stage, and boy, what happened to that awesomeness?
Right.
It's gone.
Yeah.
This sounds like a cardboard box.
Yeah.
And that is the term that everybody uses. It's like a cardboard box. But, you know, if a cardboard box sounds good, though, I'll play it. I don't care.
It's
got to be a really good cardboard, you know,
like
quality cardboard.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
There's a difference. But, like, not that wax stuff, you know. It's got to be quality cardboard. But, no, he was on to something, and, you know, so I bring it on the road, play with it on the stage, and that's the hardest thing. the hardest thing about trying a new amp is you got to play it on a stage to figure out exactly what it's doing that you like and what it's doing that you don't like, because you know you're not going to know by just playing it at home or playing it in a store
sure
what you're going to need from it when you get in this environment, you know. So every time I sent it back they nailed it.
It got closer.
Everything that I asked for, yeah, they nailed it. The last thing was really, we have to loosen it up. We got to make it sound old, you know? We got to make it sound like it's been played for 30 years.
Yeah.
And they did a great job at that. That's why I'm using them, you know? It's not just about, it was a great idea. It's about, man, can I play over here without looking at it, without continuously messing with it?
Yeah.
Can I play with this amp, and is it going to do everything that I'm trying to do to deliver the song? So remember, that's what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
We're using these tools to deliver a song. And the most important part of that is delivering the song, you know, in the most comfortable way that you can. So, that, you know, for me, this is the most comfortable way to do it, you know?
So is it essentially, I mean, did he basically copy the same ingredients as a super, or make some tweaks?
You can't copy the exact, you know, mechanism and design, but he can copy the way that the amp reacts to your playing, the way,
sure,
you know, the way it sounds, the tones, and what each pot does, because, you know, every amp's, you know, the high pot and the low pot and mid pot all boost different frequencies in different ways also. You know, and so, yeah, after he did the super, I got him to do a twin for me. And one thing that I wanted was parallel inputs, you know.
Sure.
So that I could daisy chain them without having a pedal.
Yeah.
I just really didn't want any pedal in front of me that I'd have to worry about another thing to go wrong or something with a battery in it, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have anything to do with that. So my signature models have, you know, it's not really a parallel input, but it's a, you know, you can only input on one, but you can come out of two
runs out, okay,
and go into that one, come out of the two hole and go into another one. You can line as many of them up as you want.
Wow.
You know.
That would get loud in a hurry.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're guitar guys, so, you know.
That's what we do.
They always say those guitar players, boy, they loud.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of that, I grew up playing in places where we didn't mic the amps, and when you got a trio, you got to have a big sound, you
sure
know, and playing to the back of the room, you got to have something that's going to have some coverage. You
yeah,
know?
Cover that space.
Yeah.
Do you know what speakers you're running in there? I mean, 10s and a 12. But...
Yeah, well, those are 10s. Yeah, I mean, and it's all Eminence loaded, you
okay
know? So I'm still using the square Alnico magnets in that.
Cool.
And
which is like your old super, I imagine.
Yeah. But I had no problem with the super the way it was, because it's got to break up. I'm not using any distortion
sure
or any fuzz, so that amp has to break up.
So know? When you A/B it to your old super, pretty close.
Real close. Yeah. In fact, it's got a little more oomph. You know, it's I think it has about 5 watts more power.
Oh, cool.
But you know the old super, I mean, you know, it's 40 watts from factory new, but
yeah,
it's probably only about 28 of them that work real good after you've been using it for a while. Yeah, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But it just super cuts. I mean, those 10-inch speakers would cut to the back of the room.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they definitely have a point on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting the way you mic them, too. You've got that old Neumann in front.
Yeah.
Just kind of capturing, I mean, a little bit of each amp.
Yeah, the Neumann, I got with a friend of mine from Sennheiser and asked him if there was a way that I could, you know, what would be a good mic to use to mic up both amps? Because what would happen was, you know, we don't travel with our own sound engineer. So some places we go to, you know, they're going to mic up each amp and they start leveling out, you know, the volume coming
sure
out of each amp, which is not what I'm looking for,
because
the super is going to be louder than the twin.
You want to blend.
So if they take that and match the volume coming out of the super, then it gets way too crispy and harsh.
Right.
Because it's two amps to make one sound.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, I want one mic that'll capture both of them, so they're getting one sound from my two amps. And then
that's a really smart way to do it, because when you're working with different engineers, you don't even have to explain it. You're just like, this is your signal.
Yeah.
Well,
he's going to get exactly what I'm giving him.
Yeah.
Without you know, trying to guess, is how does he want this amp or how does he want that amp?
Right.
Is it a stereo? Because if you put it in stereo, you totally defeated the purpose of me playing with two amps like this.
Yeah.
I'm not playing in stereo.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I used to, you know, when I first started playing, like for money, I used a little Princeton reverb for years, and I had a little, you know, rack that I had made to put it on where it would just be right here, like right where I could hear it, because it's only a 10 watt amp. But I put a 57 in the back of it, and that's how I mic'd it up, and it sounded fat. So I put another Neumann vocal mic in the back to get some of that fatness coming from the back of those 10s.
Oh, so just the back of the 10s.
Right, the back of the 410 has another Neumann condenser mic. That's a vocal mic, a live vocal mic that's in the back of that. That's picking up, you know. So the, you know, the sound engineer has some beef, you know, that he can put out there. Because, you know, so much good sound comes from the back of the amp.
Right, yeah. And on stage, you get all that.
Yeah.
But out there they get, you
especially know. When you're using a mic like that, because that thing is picking up everything.
Right.
I mean, that's like a studio vocal mic.
Yeah.
And it can get real crispy real fast. So I'm giving them another, you know, another position. Now, you got to run that back mic out of phase so that there's no phasing going on with two mics facing each other like that. But other than that, I mean, you know, that's it.
That's great. And can you show me you're a brass slide guy, right?
Yeah, but I don't play a lot of a slide, you know? I mean,
it's in your wheelhouse.
It's in there
when
just
you
in case,
need it.
Yeah. Just in case I feel it. Yeah.
But your action is high, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I could play that guitar.
Can you see that?
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think I could pull that off, man. That is right up there.
A lot of that is from just playing hard. If if you play real hard with your right hand and you're really digging in.
Yeah.
The if the action's too low, the string's buzzing like this, it'll fret out.
So, it's that percussive thing you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, from playing drums, I tend to play hard, you know, with my right hand. So,
yeah.
You know, I gotta have high action. Low action guitar, I can't even play it.
Yeah, you can't smack a low action like that and have it respond. Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't use guitars with tremolos because if I bust a string, they go out of tune.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's all out of necessity, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a hard bridge like this, you know, I can break a string, continue on, and break another string and continue on. And break another string and continue on, because I've done that before. I actually broke all the strings on my guitar in one song. And everybody's like, well, what's he gonna do now? I was like, I was playing the pickup, just hitting on a pickup with the pick, and they were like, wow, he's still playing it.
That's great.
But I learned that from playing banjo, because I had a banjo, and then I broke all the strings, and it was even better. Because now it's a drum with a handle, and I can walk around.
That's great. That is some Bayou shit, man.
Yeah, I can walk around. It's like a drum I can walk around with. Yeah. Put it on my shoulder like one of the old hobos.
That's great. Well, Tav, hey, man, thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, man.
Love the whole thing.
Well,
man.
Thank you, man. Thank y'all for having me in. I hope I gave y'all enough rundown.
Yeah, and come see him. He's always on tour.
Yeah,
you're like
a lot.
Always on tour, man.
It's a good thing. People still like to hear what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's an awesome experience, you know. I kept waiting for people to go, we had enough of this dude, but they haven't said that yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, it continuously builds, and, you know, it's nice to see. I'm glad that people still get into, you know, just guitar playing.
Yeah.
And not, you know, like, what effects is he using now? And what's making that sound? Well,
yeah.
If they come see me, everything's being made by my fingers.
Right.
Know? Like, you know, that to me, that was like, you know, watching a guy like John Lee Hooker play, that was a real mystery to me. It was like,
right.
How could he, because he only played with two fingers, you know, his left hand. And the stuff he would do on the guitar was blowing my mind. Like, I can't do that. I can't make my guitar sound like that.
Right.
You know, and that to me was the mystery in the music. It was like how he can do this with just two fingers. And but there's that rhythm and that boogie that he had.
Right.
Know?
And he'd play like those weird, like Epiphone Sheridans and stuff
yeah.
like that. And
yeah.
it always sounded like him, no matter what he was on.
No matter what he played.
Sounded
yeah.
like
it was
him.
Signature John Lee Hooker.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, that's. To me, that's what it is. That's playing guitar and delivering the song and delivering the message through that instrument, you know, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, that's everything.
Yeah.
Okay, there's your soundbite. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time.